So, hello and welcome back to Dark Opinions, Dark Reporter. Today I am talking about a couple of things that have happened. One of the topics occurred on Friday. A very interesting day. And this has been going over in my mind since then. On Court TV, well, actually, it was on several channels. The court case about Trump, Donald Trump, former President Donald J. Trump, and his influence in trying to overturn the elections in Georgia. So that trial was going on. As that trial was going on and witnesses were being interviewed, examined and cross-examined, in comes the DA, district attorney, who is up for re-election this year. And her name is Fannie Willis. She's a beautiful black lady. But this girl has got some spunk in her. So she wasn't expected to be there to testify, but when she heard that, especially when she heard that her special prosecutor, Nathan Wade, was testifying, she said, no, I need to be in there because I need to explain my side of this so they can get a full understanding. Now, Nathan Wade didn't really seem like he knew too much about what was going on. You know, he didn't know where, because she would pay him, like he would get like pay for a trip and tell her how much it was. And she just have all this money on her. She'd have thousands of dollars in cash on her. And she'd be like, okay, here you go. She wouldn't even ask. Like, this girl's got money just to just throw around, obviously. You know, this girl's got money to just throw around. And I'm like, okay. She said, oh, I keep, you know, in part of her testimony, several times in her testimony, she's like, oh, yeah, I keep money in my house. I keep cash in my house. And she's like, I always have cash, thousands of dollars on me. Okay. Now, Fannie Willis, she's used to prosecuting RICO cases, okay? And she did mention that when she had rented a condo, that one of her attorneys, that it's kind of weird how the relationship was. It was a female, and they were... they're more like acquaintances. They really didn't know each other that well, from what she said. They didn't speak a lot, but they were friendly to each other when they did see each other. And when they would see each other, it would be random. And like, they'd be like, oh, I didn't know you was going to be here, whatever. So the lady had, the attorney had rented a condo, but she couldn't keep it. She had to leave for some other reason. And she told Fannie about it. You know, Fannie got wind of it. And she said that her dad was afraid for her and his grandchildren, that because they were receiving death threats at the house. And because of the RICO cases that she does, and this here case, that because she's the one who's bringing the charges against Trump for election result tampering, and so getting death threats because of that as well. So he wanted her, he was like, please just go rent that condo, take over the rent. And so she says, she told during the cross-examining, she said that she went ahead and took over the rent, But she didn't pay the landlord the rent. She paid the lady the rent. And so it's like a sublease. She was subleasing it. And so as she subleased it, she would pay the lady the rent and the utilities. She would say that the lady would tell her how much, like $70 here or whatever, how much she said that she needed for the place. She said she never asked questions. She just gave her the money. And she gave her the money via Cash App. Now, during another part of her testimony, she said that when she was giving Nathan Wade, the guy who she's accused of having an improper relationship with, her special prosecutor, creating conflict of interest on this case, on the Trump case, she paid him in cash. Thousands of dollars, just whatever it was. She never asked. She just always had it on her. She's like, oh, here you go. No problem. And so I know that the attorneys that would come on and, you know, help us to understand what was going on, they were saying the reason why she was being asked about how she paid Nathan Wade and how she paid the lady is because they're trying to establish whether or not she was trying to cover her tracks with Nathan Wade. So she paid the lady for the condo through Cash App, but she paid Nathan Wade straight cash. When you pay straight cash, of course, there's no trail that you leave behind. So, you know, even attorneys, even really clever attorneys can get caught up on the witness stand. And now when she went in, she's being accused of being very disrespectful. And I have to take that one step further. The judge was being very disrespectful in allowing her to be so disrespectful to the courts. Because what she did is she didn't just come in and say, tap one of the defense attorneys or one of the prosecuting attorneys, whoever on the shoulder and say, I am here. She stomped in with an attitude and swore in. She's used to prosecuting high profile RICO cases. So she had no qualms. She tried to run the whole show. The attorneys were asking her questions and she was like, I know how this goes. I know what to do. And I know I get a chance to explain my answer. And that's what I'm going to do. And then during one part of the questioning about Nathan Wade, she goes, I'm not going to disrespect a black. No, no, no. She said, I'm not going to emaciate. I'm not going to emasculate. That's the word, emasculate. I'm not going to emasculate a black man. And the prosecuting attorney was like, excuse me? She goes, I'm not going to emasculate a black man. And that was it. Okay. And so, and there was another part of her testimony that, to me, veered towards the side of racist. And her father, when he took the stand, he was being questioned about some of the things that they do and why they do it. And he goes, well, that's a black person thing. That's the thing that black people do. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. But there's nothing wrong with that. But the way that he spoke to the prosecuting attorneys who were white is that, I don't expect you to know this about black people because you're white. And that kind of does not shed a favorable light on Fannie Willis, because now it's looking like her angst towards Donald Trump is spurred because he's white and because he's a white conservative Republican, instead of it being solely because of the election result tampering, that is makes it look like now that might be trumped up charges, like charges that have been blown up to be more than what they actually are, just so that she can take him down and like stake her victory flag on that white mountain that she just took down. So, I mean, Fannie made me very nervous on that stand. And she made me very critical of her because of how much she was disrespecting the court. And the fact that I found holes all in her story. I mean, why would you pay so much money? And she said that they asked her, during this time, they asked her about the relationship between her and Nathan. And she said that it was more of a friendship that was developing. So you just go around and just throw money to just random people like that? Aren't you the district attorney? You know, and so I find that very questionable. I feel that their relationship wasn't just a friendship at that point. It was much deeper than that. And, I mean, they would go off on these vacations. She said that. Then another hole in her story is that she started off by saying, oh, he's much more well-traveled than I am. He's been to, what, 6 or 9 continents, she said. She said it was 6 continents or 9 continents he's been to. I don't quite remember which one. But, and then they asked her which continents were they. And she said, oh, Belize. He took him to Belize for his birthday. And they asked her about Australia. Did she ever go to Australia? She goes, no, I don't want to go to Australia. And then she said, when she said Belize, they asked her, she goes, I don't know what continent Belize is on. She goes, no, don't embarrass me here. I'm trying to remember what continent Belize is on. She knows he's been to 6 or 9 different continents, but she can't remember the continent that Belize is on. And this is supposed to be a very smart lady. Very wise. And so I found that not to be very credible. That didn't look good for her. And so, yeah, there was a lot of holes in her story. And I do believe they had an improper relationship. I do believe that there was a definite conflict of interest. And I do believe that her interest in prosecuting Donald J. Trump is more than just about the election results. From her testimony, she's getting praise and criticism from a lot of people. I actually believe she wanted to go in there and make sure they understood. But to me, that made her look guilty. And I think she should have just stayed at her office or wherever she was, or just stayed out of the courtroom that day, because she didn't have to show up. They wasn't even expecting her there. And she knew that. So that was very dramatic. That was overkill. That was a show. And that was ego. So, okay. On to the next order of business. So March 1st is coming up. And that is when Ethan Crumbly's dad, I think his name is Jason, I want to say. Is his name Jason? I think it's Jason. That's when he is supposed to go on trial for his James Crumbly. He's supposed to go on trial for the same thing his now ex-wife Jennifer Crumbly went on trial for, which is not helping their son get mental health help and for placing a gun in his hands, because their son went and shot up a school, killed 4 students and wounded more at the Oxford High School shooting in 2021. Now, his ex-wife Jennifer was found guilty. She hasn't received her sentencing yet. Nathan was just sentenced, I believe it was Friday, I want to say. And he got life in prison. Here's the thing, and I talked about this on my last podcast. Ethan had told both of his parents that he needed help. He was drawing stuff at school on the back of his failed paper saying his life is worthless, drawing guns, drawing really disturbing images. And the school contacted the parents, told them about it, and they did nothing. They said that Jennifer's attitude was very nonchalant about it. And she said on the witness stand, she asked him if he wanted to come home. He said no, he wanted to stay at school. And she was like, okay. She said she tried to throw her ex-husband under the bus. Now, this woman, they are divorced. She was having an affair during this time. She was more concerned about her affair. And they said that they had found searches on her computer about her looking for hookups with more men. And she was concerned with that. She said that everything in her family pretty much is a joke. They joke around a lot. So they didn't take him seriously when he said that he really needed help. I mean, did they think the school was joking when they showed them what Ethan was doing? And that he had brought a gun to school? And they found it disturbing. And she had said, she said that everything in the family is a joke. She was talking to Ethan about it, and she's like, okay, just don't get caught. I mean, come on now. That is nonchalant. And so she says she threw James Crumbly on the bus, saying he was the one responsible for you know, keeping the gun safe from harm. So when the school shooting happened, she was reported as saying that the gun wasn't even hidden. Why does it need to be? I mean, people who know the family already know that there is weird things about Ethan, disturbing things about Ethan, and they knew it. And Ethan told them several times he wanted to get mental help. He needed help, but they refused to get that for him. She had a very good job with healthcare. And James Crumbly, he was a door dasher. And you know what really made me upset is that the media and the prosecuting attorneys made it sound like being a door dasher was a lazy job. Being a door dasher is just as legit of a job as any other job out there. So stop giving these people a hard time, because they do work. And in a lot of cases, they work a lot harder than people who just sit at their desk answering phones all day. So, it's going to be interesting to see what he says about her. It's going to be interesting to hear his side of the story. Because when she was on the stand, they just made him sound like he was like a third wheel in the whole thing. And that all he had to do was keep the gun away from Ethan, and he failed to do that. So he should be the one going to jail, not her. Now, apparently the jury didn't buy it. And so she was found guilty. And I don't know when her sentencing is going to be, but yeah, she needs to have something. I'm so glad that they're doing this, though. This is the first step in actual real gun control, because y'all know how I feel about gun control. A lot of people know how I feel about gun control, that guns are not the problem. People are the problem. A gun can be sitting on a table all day long, and if nobody touches it, nothing happens. But the moment it gets into the wrong hands, that's when there's problems. And it's not the gun that's causing the problem. It's the intention of the person that's holding it. So I'm so glad that they are finally holding people responsible. Because taking guns away from people is not going to solve violence. People will always find a way to get to a gun or some other weapon to cause mayhem and murder. So you got to blame the people with the actual intention that has the ability to think and feel. A piece of metal does not have the ability to think and feel. So it cannot be blamed for something that has a conscience. It's a piece of metal, people. There's no brain. There's no nervous system. There's no nothing in a gun. It's just metal and metal. So stop demonizing guns and start demonizing these people that are being very irresponsible with them. Now, Ethan, he was sentenced Friday to life in prison. Now, here's my question. Do y'all think that he should have been sentenced to life in prison? Because I'm telling you, here's what I think. It was very bad what happened, what he did. I don't think he deserves life in prison. I believe his parents deserve life in prison. Both of them. They bought him a gun for his birthday, knowing that his mental state was not ready for it. They deserve life in prison because they're the ones that created the monster purposefully. You have to say it's purposefully. It's too much going on for it to be an accident. They knew what they were doing. So it was not an accident that happened. Ethan should be getting mental help, not sitting in a prison. He should be getting the mental help he had been asking for when he was 15 years old. This happened in 2021. So he's about 18 now. He can be tried as an adult. Ethan deserves to be in a mental health facility long term so that they can get him the help that he needs. That should be where he serves his time. But the brunt of the time that serves should be done by his irresponsible, dumb parents. Oh, Lord Jesus. Y'all, it's just sad. And I feel sorry for what happened. My heart goes out to them. My heart goes out to the family, to the school, to the community, and to the victims. I don't know whether, how they feel about Ethan, knowing what is out, knowing the information that is out now. But I hope that somebody somewhere down the line can learn to forgive Ethan enough to where they can breathe. I don't know what should happen with his parents, James and Jennifer Crumley. I don't even feel that Jennifer was sorry. I can't speak for James because he has not taken the witness stand yet. But that happened, supposed to happen on March 1st. So we shall see. And I will be reporting on that to you guys and my thoughts and feelings on it for sure. So if you want, just leave whether or not you feel that Ethan deserved life in prison or not. And please be respectful in your answers because I will not consider any answers that are not respectful. And I will include some of your comments on March 1st as the trial takes up with the dad. All right, so that is it for now, and I will be back soon with some more stuff that has been on my mind because I had been on a long hiatus too long, and I will be back with my Mental Health Wednesdays. I got a lot of information on that. This is the Mental Health Wednesdays for supporters of those with mental health, not those with mental health. Though those with mental health can, you know, listen in and stuff, no problem. But this Mental Health Wednesday is geared towards the supporters only. And I have some information on some resources, some new resources that might help you take care of yourself while you are caring for your loved one with mental health. All right. So that's it. And take care. And remember, be kind to each other and be kind to yourselves out there. Bye.